And to me, he seems like a traveling man. He is in Ghana, Nigeria, Rwanda, and Mukono. That's a neighborhood. But you go to Mukono, it's only 30 kilometers. But it can take you 2 hours to get there. Because you have a few cars on the road. And to me, it looks like every car wants to be first. So they pass you on the side. And motorbikes, zoom, zoom, zoom. Hey, that's Kampala. But I have been other places too. I've been in the city of Manila. And they are really competing with you. So when you come to Norway, you might get there on time. We are only 5 million people in the whole country. So we don't have to fight for every little speck. Well, are you happy tonight? Well, I really want to let you leave even more happy. But of course that will take the Lord. So when you were singing, turning water into wine, I got very happy. I have never drinking wine, the natural, because I learned early in life that alcohol intoxicates. And it slows down your sharpness in making choices. And today, it is very important to be awake. The Lord calls us and He warns us and He says, don't get lukewarm. So you have to be a very warm Christian, almost hot. You touch a Christian, he is hot. Alright? You like to be like that? Well, I want to do the same. I have a little thought, and it is about judgment. Alright? About judgment. And don't get afraid now, because judgment can be a very good thing. Right? All Christian people are going to meet the Lord at a certain judgment seat. It's never condemnation. But the Lord wants to examine your work. When you come to the Lord, you get real happy. You're a child of God. But God don't want you to stay a child all the rest of your life. He wants you to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, so that He can start to use you. Hey, if you have a little son in your family, he can bring you some water. he can do some easy work.
Ashobola okukola obulimu obutonotono.
But when it comes to making decisions, you don't want your little son to do that part. You will wait till he gets more mature. And it is like that, the same way in Christian growth. The Lord saves your soul, makes you very happy, and you can dance around, and you can testify of the goodness of God. But then, after a little while, the Spirit of the Lord starts speaking. And you start to understand, Ma, the Lord wants me to do things. And as a Christian, you will have to count on that God will talk to you. Right? And remember, you read a book called the Bible. And when you read every page, those pages is about God speaking to people. And they wrote it down. The word of prophecy is never made for private interpretation. So when you read the Bible, you may say to yourself, what does that mean? Hey, some of the things in the Bible can be hard to understand. Because the Lord, He speaks in a hidden way. He can use natural explanations. And the natural people, they can say, oh, that's easy. But they have no idea what he's talking about. Right? Because in Mark chapter 4, the disciples heard natural explanations. It was parables about the sower of seed. Right? But when they came and had Jesus by themselves, they said, why is it that you always speak in parables? Because it seems like people don't catch. Well, they catch the natural thing, and we do too. But we understand there must be more to it. So therefore we ask you plainly, what did you mean? And Jesus said, well, you're catching on. But remember now, to a person who are lively interested in the Word of God and want to do the will of God, to him the scriptures and the parables will be explained so that they can understand it. But to the people who are just out fishing, right, they come to church because they want to find something to criticize. Hey, they will never catch on. They will take the statement and run with it. And they will try to ruin you. Because they think they know what you're doing in here. But they don't. Right? Because the Lord hides it from them. Because if you come to criticize, if you come to destroy, then you are not meant to understand it. And that is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. No, to the disciples. Excuse me. He said to you, it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to them that are outside, right, the criticizers, it is not given. It is hidden for them. Because their heart is not right with God. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God offered Adam to eat of the tree of life. But he started first eating of the tree of knowledge. Hey, he learned the same truth. He got knowledge. But he got the knowledge the wrong way. Through disobedience. And the Lord said, from no one, there is no eating of the tree of life. I will not reveal that to you now. But if you stay faithful all the rest of your life, and you believe in the coming Adam, then I will reveal it to you. But not until the time is right. Because Adam was not really out to criticize. He was a real son of God. He was not a devil. But he was trapped by the devil. And when he does that, it puts a hindrance in the understanding. I will explain something very simple. And it may stick to you the rest of your life. But you could also forget it as soon as you get out the door. Right? Simplicity. Some people say it's too simple. It cannot be that way. And they go and forget about it. But one day we're going to meet our Lord, and he's going to tell us something. And I hope that we will learn something in our Christian walk. I have some scriptures, and I want you to note them down, because we only have a few minutes and I cannot explain everything like thoroughly. But the Bible explains it. Right? So I'm only going to point you in a direction, so that you can see how to put the scripture together. Right? We know, as people of this earth, we live for 60, 70, 80 years. And then we die. And it's over. The moment we die, we cannot add anything to our life. If there's something you need to do right, you have to do it while you're alive. Right? Don't wait till it's too late. Hey, when your body is in the grave, you are still alive spiritually. Your spirit and your soul really does not die. It will take the lake of fire to separate the Spirit of God from your soul. Hey, that's the purpose of the lake of fire. Right? God, He wants His Spirit back. But He gives us an invitation. He says, if you want to believe in me and walk with me and do what I say, then I will give you eternal life. And that is a process that God does through the new birth. Being born again. Before Jesus Christ came, no one could be born again. Because the price of getting back to the tree of life was not yet paid. So therefore God put a hindrance. He used angels in the Garden of Eden. And after they left the Garden of Eden, you can seek for the tree of life as much as you want. You would never find it. Right? But you could still believe in God, and when God reveals the redemption price, and that was the death of Jesus Christ. Right? So if you believe that He would pay the price, then by believing Jesus Christ, God will give you the right to eat back on the tree of life. Mm-hmm. So therefore, before Calvary, there were a lot of potential eaters of the tree of life. They could not actually eat it, but they could believe in it. And when they died, the Lord looked at them and He said, aha, he believed till the day he died, I will give him eternal life. From Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then He invited disciples and He said, wait now until the Holy Spirit comes and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is the open invitation to partake of the tree of life. Right? Remember? The living seal of God is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So therefore make sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not difficult. You accept the Lord and you receive the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is really the same thing. In the Old Testament, it was mainly talked about the Holy Ghost. But in the New Testament, it started changing the terminology of the Holy Spirit. Right? And in Norway, when you read the Old Testament, it says Hellige Ånd. Right? And when you go to the New Testament, it says Hellige Ånd. Same thing. Right? But in English, ghost, spirit.
Ghost, spirit.
Right? So what do you say in Uganda? I don't know. But remember, if you look at it, a ghost is a spirit. Very simple. Yeah. So some people, oh, you're not talking about the Holy Ghost. You're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, not Holy Ghost.
Well, let us clarify, it is actually the same thing. And if you want to be old-fashioned, you can say Holy Ghost. Right? No problem. Okay, so when you die, then you will also come to a judgment seat. And that is the judgment seat of Christ. It is not for condemnation. It is only to examine what you did. If it was inspired by God, or if it was inspired by yourself. Right? You can say, I have a revelation. You may not have a revelation. You think you saw something. And many times people say, oh, the Lord spoke to me. But he never spoke. People just want to make impression. So that you should think that they're really holy men. But they may not be holy men. Because you read your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 29, and there it reads about Jeremiah and another prophet, Hananiah. Yeah. Yeah. And Hananiah said, the Lord told me, Israel will be back in 2 years. And Jeremiah said, that's not what the Lord told me. He said we should be away for 70 years. But Jeremiah did not argue with the man. Remember, when you have a divine revelation, you don't need to argue.
Hey,
when you start arguing, when you start putting people down, that's a good sign that you don't know what you're talking about. Right? So never argue. Don't fight people. Just love them. And the Lord said, love your enemies. So Jeremiah, when he heard Hananiah, he said, I wish to God that your words will come through. Right? And he turned and he walked out. He did not want to put up a fight. But when the Lord saw him in the yard outside, he said, Jeremiah, go back again. Speak to Hananiah and tell him Because you are telling a lie in the name of the Lord, you shall not live through this year. Jeremiah had to come back, and he looked at the congregation and he said, Hananiah, thus said the Lord, because you're speaking lies in the name of the Lord, you shall not live through this year. Hey, 2 months later, Hananiah was dead. Hit by something that the Lord caused, because he lied in the name of the Lord. And you may ask a question. A Christian person, can he lie and still go to heaven? Right? Shall we have liars in heaven? Then I will ask you a question. Have you ever lied? Right? So you think there are going to be a bunch of liars in heaven, right? Right? Hey, that is why the Lord is undressing us from every selfish work. Remember, our lies will never go to heaven. But we have to admit that we lied. And that is what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 11 to 15 is really talking about. Because your works will be gold. That's truth. It will be like silver. That's also truth. And precious stones. That is also truth. But the word goes on. And it says, hey, or grass, right? That's a lie. Wood. Like stubbles. Every material that can burn, they're all lies. So therefore, be sure when you speak in the name of the Lord that you're actually inspired to say it. Don't use denominational traditions and call it God. I have heard people say they're prophesying and they say, thus saith the Lord of the Trinity. Well, if you know anything about your Bible, there is no Trinity. But there's a bunch of people who have converted the Bible into a Trinitarian thought. Hey, they are inspired. Remember, the anointing is real. But the vessel is a liar. Remember the message of Brother Branham? The false anointed ones in the end time Remember, people can be anointed, but they can be taught falsely. And instead of waiting on the Lord to teach them the right thing, they cook up some denominational thing and they call it the will of God. You know, when the Lord puts His flames on it, it's going to burn away. It's wood. It is lies. Alright. So therefore, but this is nothing to worry about when you are alive, because then 1 Corinthians 3:11 is not for you yet. For you that are alive, you shall meet the Lord in a different judgment. Hey, there are three parables, or shall we say four parables. They all speak about the whole period of the Gentile dispensation. Because the Lord speaks to the disciples, they wonder about the end time, and they ask the Lord, how shall we look at it? Are you setting up the kingdom now? And the Lord says then, listen to me, I will give you a parable that will help you to understand. And it starts in Luke chapter 19 from verse 1 to 27. Yeah, you know we're not gonna read the whole thing. But it says, a certain nobleman went into a far country. And that nobleman is really nobody else than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling them that he was going to leave them. But he said, I will come back again and you shall be with me. What the people did not understand then was that journey was going to take a long time. About 2,000 years. But Jesus did not explain how long the journey would be. Because then the people would start to calculate. And God don't want you to figure out the coming of the Lord. Many people have tried, and every time they fail, and they cause a lot of confusion. So the Lord said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you would not even worry about the coming of the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you in right time. One day, the Lord will speak to you as an individual. It's time to go. That's why stay filled with the Holy Ghost. The only thing to be concerned about is that you are in the presence of the Lord. Then you don't need to worry. Hallelujah. Okay. So then, when he was explaining, he said he went on a journey. But then, he came back. He didn't tell them that they would not be alive when he came back. Right? He just left it like that. And many, many generations have died after Jesus told the story. But one generation shall be alive when he comes back. Because according to the scriptures, Paul said, we shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. Right? So here Paul is grasping a spiritual revelation. Alright, so there will be a generation alive when the Lord comes back. And this is how the Lord explains the parable for they who would be alive at His coming. You understand me? Right? If you die before His coming, you meet the Lord in another judgment. It is not for condemnation, but it is to push away all the selfish work that you did, which you told the people, the Lord told me to do this, but He never told you. And the Bible says, you shall be saved, but thus as through fire. Right? And it is not hellfire. It is examination fire. So that only the true inspiration will receive its reward. Right? So why put up something and say the Lord told me, just to make yourself a popular man? Throw that away. Be a simple brother. Be a simple sister. Tell what the anointing says. And leave the rest alone. And if you want to tell people something, and it is not the Lord, then you tell them, this is what I think. not the Lord. Hey, it's not dangerous to tell your opinions. But be honest about it. And say, that is what you think. Because that will not go through fire. Only what the Lord tells will stand the test. Okay. But here we are, a bunch of believers. We have not gone through the grave yet. And the Lord can come anytime. We are in the season of the coming of the Lord. The Lord sent a messenger, and we call him a forerunner, for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, so he will come. And in the meantime, while we're waiting on the coming, we're not going to just sit around and say, oh, the Lord's coming anyway. I don't need to do any more now. I say, every time the Spirit calls on you, you do everything He says. Because you are now His child. And maybe you have grown up. You have become His son and daughter that can take responsibility. And when He sees you coming into maturity, He has something for you. He may have a pound. He may have a talent. Right? And He will tell you. And remember, pounds and talents, they are a parable. So people can understand, we are called to invest. But it's not talking about money. But it is when the Lord comes to you and He says to you, my son, I want you to go and talk to this person, because he needs salvation. And you say, all life, all right, Lord, I'll do it. Or he starts to wake up the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Remember, in you, in every believer, all the gifts of the Spirit are right there in you. You say, oh? Even miracles? Can I go and do miracles? Yes. If the Lord tells you to. Right? That is the secret. The gifts of the Spirit are not supposed to be used outside the anointing. When the Lord anoints you to prophesy, and you say what the Lord tells you, you will have a reward. You are using your talent. But if you sit in church and you say, my, this service is really dragging out, I think we need to put in some spike into it. So you raise up and you say, thus said the Lord. But it is you speaking. It is not Him. You were not anointed to do it. Maybe you have prophesied before under the anointing, and you think you can do it all the time. But you cannot. Remember how many thousands of people came up to Brother Branham. He had to wait on the anointing. He would always pray for people. But he couldn't tell them, the Lord speak to me now, you're healed. Because he would be telling them a lie. He could not say it because he had said it 1,000 times. He needed the anointing all the time. Therefore, when people came to him, and he looked at them, and the Lord didn't say anything, he said, Lord, heal this person. Be merciful. Amen. And he said, go home now. Believe the Lord. But he could not say, you are now healed. Yeah, you see the difference? Honesty is really the quality stamp on a real bride person. Don't play with the anointing. So if the Lord doesn't come, leave it alone. Alright? So, the Lord can speak to you. Go here, go there. Preach the word as I have delivered it to you. And you do your job. Right? So then, God will reward it. And if he starts to use the special gifts of the Spirit, you tell them what you see and leave it like that. Because it is up to the person to believe it. And if anyone is going to believe you or me, we will have to prove some honesty. Right? Hey, you see my brother here? If he prophesies, and every time it hits the mark, it always comes through. Then the next time he prophesies, you can say, my, when he prophesies, it's always the Lord. Then you build confidence. And we should be able to build confidence in each other. Right? Some people, you cannot count on them. Someone tell you, I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here 10 o'clock. Right? Tuesday come and go. No, brother. I've been waiting all day for him. And he don't even show up. Then you meet him a week later. Oh, he said, whoa, I had so much to do. But tomorrow, I'll be there. And tomorrow comes and goes. No, brother. And you know what you're going to think? That man, you cannot trust that man. He might owe you money. Oh yeah, next week I will pay you back. Next week, next month, no money. And you say, that man is not reliable. You know what Brother Branham said? If you owe someone, do your level best to fulfill your commitment. One time Brother Branham owed the state $45,000. That was a lot of money. And Brother Branham, you know what he did? He said, I'm going to quit ministering. And I'm going to get a job. And I will work hard to pay back the $45,000. Even if it would take the rest of my life. Huh? So he would pop up at the office and give $100 as a down payment. I will be back next week. I'll have another $100. And he would do that. Because it was honest. Hey, he was claimed and honest by the government. And he was not dishonest. But when they charged him, he said, what can I do? I will not ask the Lord. Lord, you get them guys. Right? Sometimes we get hot when people are dishonest to us. We may say, the Lord's gonna get you. Hey, don't say that. You know what you say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Hey, that's the best material. That's the best weapon against your enemies. Right? So then a brother came. He heard about the big debt. And he said, Brother Branham, I'm going to pay the bill for you. And Brother Branham said, no, sir. Nobody's going to pay my bill. I will not use other people's money. Well, but the brother was a smart man. So he said, okay, you will owe me $45,000. Take it as a loan. But get back out on the mission field. And you can pay me back anytime you want. Even if it is a $10. Don't worry about it. Right? And Brother Branham said, okay. Well, if you promise me, I can pay you back. I will go back out on the mission field. I will preach the gospel. And I will do my best to pay you back. Hey, that's a man of God. Right? I say, it's a wonderful example. All right. Then I'll hurry up now. The clock is ticking. I usually get a note here. It may already be written. Okay. So therefore, when the Lord bring you and me, let us say we are alive at the coming of the Lord. Then we have come to the part in Luke chapter 19 when the Lord is going to reckon with us. Right? He's going to check us out. What have we done with the talent he gave us? So there, you come and you will know everything the Lord has said to you. I have spoken to the Lord. He has spoken to me. He has revealed His will to me. And if I honestly do everything He tells me, I can come back to the Lord and I say, Lord, you told me to do this. You inspired me to do that. And this is what I did with it. And the Lord looks down and He says, well done. You done everything I told you.
Hey,
that's the only thing you need to do. To come before the Lord. And you don't come like this. Oh Lord! I know you're tough. Hey, God loves you. Right? And He only wants you to do what He tells you. He don't want you to do everything that other people tells you. You're not responsible for that. Because they can come to you and say, you are a Christian, you should do this. And you say, my Lord, oh my, can I do that? But you see, when the Lord comes, you will understand it is Him. And you will say, Lord, help me to fulfill your will. It is not very difficult. But we people, we have a tendency to make it complicated. And some people, they receive 5 talents. Some people receive 2 talents. And the Bible says, according to what the Lord knows they are able to contribute. Right? He don't give you 5 talents if you cannot handle it. Right? Ah. And He doesn't say you are less valuable. No. Because you can do what He tells you perfectly. Everything of it. And that's your responsibility. And the Lord will say, blessed servant, you have done everything I told you. You have been faithful in little, I will set you over much. Hey, this is happening before we go in the rapture. And you may say, Brother Strawman, how is this going to happen? Hey, leave that to the Lord. Right? I will not tell you technical things. Remember, they asked Jesus, when are you coming back? And He said, don't worry about that. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And He also said, I don't know. Only my Father knows. And I can tell you, we are not bigger than the Lord. Right? But I'm telling you an illustration. And that is going to happen. Not because I say it, but because the Bible declares it, that people who are alive at the coming of the Lord will face a certain judgment. It's really the same as the dead in Christ, but there is a difference in the living people. So you can call this one the judgment of the living. Because finally, in the parable, there came one man who had only received one talent. Right? You remember? Matthew 25, about the talents. And the man comes, and he comes like this. Oh, Lord! I know you're tough. I know you're a hard dealer. God is not a hard dealer. You know, He gives you value. And He only wanted to be invested. And the investment is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Right? I hope you understand. If you had 10 million shilling and you didn't know what to do with it, you're not going to say, I'm going to try this, try that. No, you know what you'll do? You will ask people who knows how to invest. Because that would be a security. That your money will not be lost. You invest out of your own head, it may all be gone. Right? And to do the work for the Lord, you don't use your head. I hope you get the picture. Because you have a helper. You have an advocate. The Holy Spirit. And if you got one talent, well, don't say, that was not much. No, you say, praise the Lord. I can do this. But I need help. So Lord, show me how to do it. And that is what the Lord wants. Because we're not that smart. Of course, we think we're smart. But when it comes to spiritual matter, we're not that smart. That is why the Lord said, I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And He shall take of mine and show it to you. Hallelujah. So therefore, your spiritual investments will always be secure. Because they are done in the Holy Spirit. But here is a man. And it did not ask the Holy Spirit. He just said, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. I'll hide it away. And when the day comes that the Lord will reckon with him, he comes and says, Lord, here is yours. And the Lord said, you wicked man, you never listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? You're lazy. Because if you have done what is right, you were then invested. Even if it was a little, so I could have that with interest. I don't say this to make you nervous, but I say this so that you will know when the Lord speaks to you, then you do what He says. Some people, they have told me, I know I had a calling, but I didn't do it. I started reasoning with God, and I made a deal. Hey, you're not making a deal with God. You're making a deal with the devil. Because he is against you using your talent. So therefore, to cut this short, the Lord looks upon him and he says, sir, you are not worthy, listen to what I say now, to come in as a bride. He doesn't condemn me to hell. Right? He condemns him to live in the great tribulation. Think about it. Cast him out. From among the bride. He didn't say kill him. No. Because in the great tribulation, he will have time to think. Remember, as long as a person is alive, there is a chance of repentance. Some people have believed the Lord years and years in their life, but they never done anything about it. And the Lord wakes them up and he said, don't you see what you're doing? I gave you a talent. I gave you an ability to be a shining example, but you just slept around. Don't do that. And then, in the great tribulation, that person may say, I lost the golden chance because I did not let the Holy Spirit lead me. I didn't even pay attention to the Holy Spirit. But now, I don't want to go to hell. And I have been before a judgment seat. So therefore, that throwing out gives him a chance to repent. And you may say, is there repentance in the great tribulation? Of course it is. Remember the same word of the Lord that says, God don't want anyone to perish, but that they can come to the acknowledgement of truth and repent. Remember, in the great tribulation, God is going to cleanse the earth, and He's still going to sort out every believer that is crying for help. Because my Bible says the ones that don't want to repent in the great tribulation, they will curse the Lord. Right? They will not say, Lord, help! No, they say, God, I hate you. Look what you're doing. You're destroying them all. You're destroying my world. Hey, it's about time for the Lord to come and clean it up. So I will say to you, as a last little word, it is time to get busy with the Lord. Remember, every soul that passed by your presence, I don't say that you shall be hysterical. Oh, brother, oh, you have to come to the Lord. Right? Brother, you have to come to the Lord. Right? That's not the way. But when you pass by, and the Lord says, stop. Here is one that need to hear something. And this is what you're going to say. And you speak. And the person say, oh, this is the Lord. How did you know? And you can say, I didn't. But I know one who knows everything. And he invites you now into his presence. Right? Even if the time is short, it is not time to get hysterical. But it is a time to be very sensible, attentive to the Holy Spirit. Alright, I have said plenty. Okay, therefore, you take Luke 19:11-27. Matthew 22:1-14. Matthew 25:14-30. And Matthew 25:1-13. Right? All of them tells a similar parable, how that some come from to the Lord and the house gets full of people. And in Matthew 22 there is one man that doesn't have the right clothing on, and that clothing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? One that failed to receive the Holy Spirit. Basically because they say, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I can manage. Alright. And then the solution. Mark chapter 4. Verse 13-20. Right? And the first three examples in Mark chapter 4 verse 13 is the reason for throwing a person into utter darkness. You get me? And the last example is the good example. The seed that fell in the ground in a good soil. Hey, that's your heart. The soil is your heart. You can have a stony heart, a heart like the roads, the dirty roads. you can have a heart that are among thorns, and you always worry, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. But the last one is the one that God likes. And he said it fell in a wonderful soil. A good heart. And it bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold, according to how you are made. And remember, 30, 60, and 100 is not a belittling of any soul. 30-fold is a very good reward. You see? Amen. Because that, when you go to the Bank of Uganda, they give you 2% interest on your savings. When you invest in the Lord and he gives you 30-fold, he gives you 3,000% of your investment. Right? And you can get even 6,000%. 60-fold. Or he can match you up and give you 10,000%. Hey, to invest in the kingdom of God as the Lord leads you, you'll have a great reward coming. Do you understand me? Remember, I could have used a lot more time in details, but I've given you an average outline so you can study and improve in your walk with the Lord. Because the parables, they are the test, right? And the seed is the way you act upon it. Make sure you're in the last part of that seed. Your heart is fertile. And whatever the Lord puts in you starts growing. And it stays that way. It is not plucked away because you're nervous. Okay. May the Lord bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My brother. Thank you for giving me the extra minute. Amen. I may be a little slow, but I want it to sink in so you never forget. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Brother Strong. You may not even hear it. I know you will come again. You are most welcome. You need him? I will give him the time when we... Time, I don't know. Time is our enemy. People say time is our enemy. It's quite a problem. We need you, brother. We are always very, very easy. How many of you know that people here, there are a lot of arguments around. Even banning Bible because of the word. Holy Ghost,
our
Lord, in the Bible, some people are banning Bibles.
Yeah.
Just because of the difference. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Holy Nagaba. Bible, you are very Holy Ghost.
I bet you know. Have you ever lied?
What?
Be very careful what you speak. Please don't speak. Hallelujah. I'm just giving a chance.